Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
7:13 is the time. You know, you can take a song.
Yeah.
And one person sings it one way, one tempo. Another person sings it another way.
Oh, true.
Okay, 1974.
Okay.
This was kind of a hit. This version. Maria Muldaur.
Shopping and be back for it melts in the pan. Cause I'm a woman.
W-O-M-A. Yeah, this was a hit. I remember.
Okay,
that.
Yeah. That was her follow up to
Midnight at the Oasis.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was a good song. It was catchy.
Yeah.
But the definitive version, and I'm leading, this is the intro to our next guest. But the definitive version for me was done back in the 50s.
Okay.
To me, Peggy Lee.
I was going to say, is it Peggy Lee?
She owns it, man.
Oh, I think so, too.
I can wash out 44 pairs of socks and have them hanging out on the line. I can start an iron 2 dozen shirts before you can count from 1 to 9. I can scoop up a great big dipper full of lard from the drippings can. Throw the skillet, go out and do my shopping. Be back before it melts in the pan. Cause I'm a woman.
Oh, yeah.
W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. I can rub and scrub till this old house is shining like a dime. Feed the baby, grease the car, and powder my face at the same time. Get all dressed up, go out and swing till 4 a.m. and then lay down at 5, jump up at 6, and start all over again. Cause I'm a woman.
And we got that W-O-M-A-N on the radio with us right now. The lovely and talented Amy Hall, Granite State Dairy Promotion. How are you, kiddo?
I'm doing well. How are you two?
We're great. I mean,
we're doing just fine.
You know, you got your own song there.
Well, aside from not knowing what day it is, what season we're in, and that I ate an entire pizza for dinner last night, I'm doing just fine.
Wait a minute. What was on the pizza?
It was pepperoni. I just went basic.
Okay. That's just fine.
No, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm. No, it's excellent.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
See, I'm a mushroom, green pepper, black olive, and sausage guy.
Oh,
well,
nice.
In fairness, I always get extra cheese on my pizza, so I would encourage everybody to do that. It just makes it so much better.
Yeah, go dairy, go dairy.
Go no, dairy. I get it. Yeah. Go dairy.
No, I get it. So, any good news?
You know, that's a pretty relative question.
Yeah, of course it is.
Right, I know.
I think, you know, I'm going to be optimistic that there's good news on the horizon.
Okay, good.
I know that there's, yeah, our farmers are, you know, holding up the best that they can. It's mm-hmm. an unprecedented time. Mm-hmm. So we're all just doing our best to stay positive and take it day by day. Their struggles really are quite difficult, but, you know, we're all in this together, every single person. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're doing our best to hold it together.
You know, I was looking, because I knew you were coming back today, I was looking at a story on NBC, and it was talking about the historic loss of farms around the country. And I'm just looking at and now, again, you see these numbers daily. But for yeah. most people who are doing other things, we don't see these numbers. I'm just like, wow. Small dairy farmers, okay, in this story, who average a salary of just over $20,000 a year if they can afford to give themselves one at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And it was talking about how farmers were having to, let's see, in 1970, there were nearly 650,000 dairy farms in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of 2017, 40,219 remained. And cows are producing more milk than ever, but they're consolidating on bigger, more efficient farms. In 1987, half of American dairy farms had 80 or fewer cows. By 2012, the figure had risen to 900 cows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, 42,000 dairy farmers have gone out of business since 2000. And you talk about those numbers and people say, oh, well, you know, but again, I don't deal with those numbers. And when I'm looking at them, I am just blown away by, and my math is not that good, but okay, I can figure this out. That ain't good.
It's really not. And, you know, just to put those numbers, break them down a little bit more into New Hampshire, you referenced 1970. Well, in 1970, New Hampshire had 850 dairy farms. Mm. Today, we're under 100.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, does milk production remain the same? You know, it's a generality. New Hampshire is a milk deficit state, which means, you know, that with our dairy farmers that we still have remaining, we couldn't feed every family in the state. So that's what milk deficit means. But it's an alarming loss. It's a shocking loss. And, you know, in terms of the general public, I just think that we have become generation after generation so far removed from farming. There was a point in time where your uncle was a farmer or your second cousin mm-hmm. was a farmer. And, you know, even if you weren't the farmer, you worked on a farm. I mean, Peter, you used to walk cows up and down the road.
Yep.
So even you have that connection. And now I think we've just been so conditioned as a society, and it's not really anyone to blame here, that you go to the grocery store and there's all the food you need. So what's the problem? Where's the problem? There's no food shortage per se. You just go in, whatever you need, you have your list. So these numbers, and yes, I do look at them every day and I, you know, do my best not to get depressed about it, but that is the reality. And that's the importance of buying local. And the national numbers are staggering. The New Hampshire numbers are quite rattling. So what do we do about that?
Mm.
You know, we talk on the radio. You know, I take interviews with the press, and I just hope that at some point people begin to catch on again that, you know, this is your food.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you survive. Every single person on earth, this is how you survive. And you need to ask yourself, you know, if we didn't have farmers, would you be able to feed yourself and your family all on your own? I bet you 95% of people couldn't answer that question with a yes.
Right. No, you're right.
The numbers are shocking. And, you know, after 12 years in this job, it becomes tiresome after a while to, you know, keep shaking and trying to shake people to understand that.
Right.
And I'm really happy that we have a secure food system in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a leader in the world in terms of food security, food quality. And I think it's good that people can feel confident walking into these supermarkets, knowing for sure that the food that they want on their list is going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also very important for them to know that as each year passes, that food supply becomes less and less from your local farmers and more from those huge conglomerates, if you will. So we need to make a choice. What do we want?
Right.
That choice I can't make for people.
Well, and I saw, I'm sorry, and I saw Dean Foods, I think, in the story.
Mm-hmm.
They were a big buyer.
They were one of the bankruptcy.
Yeah. They were turning farmers away because apparently Walmart was coming in and they were building their own milk processing plant and dealing with farmers. And
yeah,
so all the farmers that got blown out by Dean were going, where do we go now?
Mm. Right. It's difficult. And obviously that's not a problem of Dean, but, and I hate to smash Walmart, but you know, they are. They're creating their very own system, which is, you know, sort of separated from the way things are working now from the general milk supply. So that's clearly not going to be a help. We can't have, it's a little frightening to think that you're going to have one major corporation who is now trying to dip their toe into an entire market.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like long term? I don't know. But right now, it's a portion of the worry, that's for sure, because Walmart right now seems to be one of those retail locations that, you know, are rationing milk and dairy sales to people. Not all Walmarts, but certain certain specific stores are doing that. So there's a lot of concern out there, and I you know, the positivity is there, mm-hmm. but there's reality also that we all need to take a serious look at and start asking ourselves some serious questions about how important are our local farms to us.
Yeah.
Of course, it is my opinion that it is worth every ounce of energy we have left in our bodies individually to fight for them.
Well, if we've learned nothing else through this pandemic, I think we want sources to be a little bit closer to us rather than being dependent on others to get it to us. Do you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And across New England, you know, we talked a little bit about the milk dumping last week, but mm-hmm. at this point in New England alone, we've had 18 million pounds of milk dumped, you know, from dairy farms. And that's nobody's fault. We can't necessarily blame anybody for that. You know, mm-hmm. the schools are closed, restaurants are closed, coffee shops are closed.
Right.
So that's not the fault of anybody, but it certainly is not helping these dairy producers survive when they are already in a struggle before any of this began. So it is my hope that maybe, Pat, to your point, that people are starting to value and appreciate these farms a mm-hmm. little bit more that are in their communities so that when they drive by, they understand the importance of that farm specifically.
Or when you're walking through the dairy section of your supermarket, start thinking about this stuff. You know, even as you're picking out the same stuff you always pick out, think about it a little bit. And if there's any way you can get New Hampshire sourced dairy products, please make that choice.
But you know, and Amy knows, that there is a segment, I don't know if it's growing or just it's a vocal segment.
Right.
That just is saying, hey, if they can't cut it, they can't cut it. Okay. Let him go. It's a quaint little anachronism from the 19th century. We're not an agrarian society anymore. We've moved on. Something will fill the place. It's okay. They have no problems about letting it go, going, we have milk alternatives. It's fine. I'm like, oh, no, man. No. And you try to argue that going, no. No. It's no. If it comes from a coconut, it's not milk.
Right.
I'm sorry. If it comes from a papaya, it's not milk.
Yeah.
And but they're just saying, well, obviously the models don't work anymore. So you know, we've moved on. We're in the 21st century. Let it go. And I hate those people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I have to say that there's always going to be people like that, clearly and obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, just to touch on the plant-based aspect. I was having a discussion with a higher up just the other day. I won't mention him, but I don't think people realize the amount of land that it would take to move to anything even remotely close to plant-based. And if people do value local and their opinion is, you know, right here in New Hampshire and New England, if you have a position of let's support local, you know, local farms, that's all great. But at the same time, yeah, if they can't make it, they can't make it. Well, it's a juxtaposition of your own belief system is what that becomes. We don't grow coconuts in New Hampshire. We don't grow almonds in New Hampshire. Limited amounts of soy. It just seems so counterproductive, and it goes to my earlier point that people do not understand the food system any longer. And I don't think that there's a lot of people out there who care to understand the food system any longer. They read a headline. The headline is the news, not the story that goes under the headline.
Right.
That's the headline, and they move on. The three-second attention span. So do you want to let them go? If that's your position, feel free to have that position. But you have to understand the long-term consequences of that position. And it is one that is not good for this region, and it is one that is certainly not good for the nation. It is one that is not good for our environment as a whole. The amount of land that would have to be desecrated nationally in order to be able to grow all of the food that it would require to meet your daily nutritional needs, like dairy can do, would absolutely desecrate the land in this country.
Okay. Now, honey, you know I love you. And I don't mean to sound condescending, but do you ever lose an argument?
I mean, in my mind, no.
Okay.
You know, I was just about to comment that if everyday people would just have even 25% of your passion,
right,
then they would really start
we're good to go.
About this,
we're good to
you
go.
Know,
yep.
And we're going to be okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, it's an uphill battle most days. And we do, you know, we try to remain positive, and we have a lot of really good things going on here. But in times like this, it's tough. You know, with milk dumping, Peter, you had mentioned the average salary.
Right.
You know, one load of dumped milk, to put this into perspective for people, is $10,000 out of a dairy producer's pocket.
Holy moly.
I know.
Okay. Okay.
Could you, and I understand there's a lot of people out of work right now, so I'm not trying to do a comparison of they have it worse, you have it better.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, again, helping people to reconnect with what farming is, where the food comes from, and how darn hard these people work. You know, so when I hear things like bailouts and this and that,
yeah, I know.
I mean, it's my position that, you know what, if we're going to be helping anybody out, it should be the people that feed us.
Yep.
I mean, this is food. We need this to live, people.
Yeah. They are, again, one of the heroes of what's going on right now.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Didn't I see that sales of raw milk had been increasing?
Yeah, actually, they have been here and there. You know, raw milk, you know, I'm neither here nor there about, for me personally, I do not drink raw milk.
Yep.
I've read too many stories, and I know the risks of that.
Yeah, but a lot of people, but some people like it.
Some people like it. And you know what? If you want to support dairy in that aspect, that's great.
Yep.
And I also just want to remind people, too, because I'm back on the radio again for a long time, is that I love buying direct from a farm and a local farm. But I really would like to implore on people that it's not just one farm in this state that matters.
Right.
It's every single one of them. And not every single dairy producer in our state has the capacity, the space, the resources, or the employees to bottle their own milk individually. I love the farms that can do that, and trust me, I love their milk.
Yep.
My refrigerator is like a buffet of different dairy products.
Ooh.
But let's do our best that we support everybody. Every single farmer matters.
And by the way, you're back on the radio where you belong.
Oh, thank you very much.
Just say didn't I see Kentucky Creamery is phasing out glass bottles and going to plastic because of the coronavirus?
They are. I mean, it's a slow transition because there is an issue in this epidemic with glass bottles
right.
and the transference
right.
of COVID.
Yep, yep.
Some of our farms have been, you know, other bottlers have been able to work things out on that aspect with some creative solutions at the retail end. And Kentucky Creamery just said, you know what we'll do, make it easier for everybody, and we'll transition to plastic. And that's a great example of how progressive and quick dairy producers can be. So they've done an excellent job over there sort of moving and grooving and adjusting to the new dynamic, our new reality.
Yep. Now, when you say transitioning, because of retailers not taking the bottles and, you know, blah, 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 I get that. So they're shifting to plastic. Does that mean they're going to do plastic and glass, or they're doing plastic now, and then when the pandemic is over, they go back to glass? Or is this a course they're going to stay on and just stay plastic?
Well, I can't speak specifically for Kentucky Creamery, but it is my understanding that they will continue to do glass. Whether or not they continue to do plastic after this is over,
you.
I don't know how to answer
mm-hmm.
that. But yes,
right.
Glass bottles will still be part of their repertoire, if you will.
Yay. All right. And by the way, you're right. I did grow up walking the cows from the barn to the day field and back. I was mucking stalls, and my first paying job was washing milk bottles at a creamery. So
yes.
I get it, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a glamorous life, but, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not. And, you know, the further away we move from it, the further away we move from anything, really, you start to lose the appreciation. And if you don't have the knowledge of it, it's not your fault.
Right.
But I do encourage people to do their best to increase their knowledge of it, because it impacts every single one of us. In the human race, every single one of us, our food impacts us.
No, you're right.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, I remember when I moved out of the farm, couldn't wait to get off the farm, and went through a life pretty much, you know, downplaying, you know. And then you reach a point in life where you go, hell no, I'm a hick from Maine, and I'm proud of that. And you mm-hmm. go back to it, and it's like, no, man, that's the way I was raised. End of story. Move on. You don't like it, deal with it. That's your problem.
Right. And that's the other thing, too, is that farming is so different in 2020 than it was, you know, back in the 30s, if you will, is that
I'm not that old.
No, I'm not saying you, sir.
Oh, okay,
I'm
good.
Saying, you know, that, you know, this ideal of, you know, the wooden stool with three legs and,
oh, yeah.
and hand milking a cow, that's long gone. But that's a good thing, because just like any other business, you expect every other business to move forward with modern technology, or else you're antiquated and you're out.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of our dairy producers and that they're able to make these adjustments. And I often say, these are some of the smartest people in the world. They are economists.
Yep.
They are farmers. They are veterinarians.
Mm-hmm.
They are mechanics. They are they are executives that happen to wear overalls. And I would challenge anybody to deal with what they face every day with such grace and humility and pride, all to feed us.
And Gina Davis could milk a cow and hit a home run in a league of their own. Just saying. Okay? Just saying.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, look, we got to rock. We got a break here. But it is always, it's one of the high points of the week when we get to catch up with you. And we'll look forward to doing it again next week.
Thank you. I sure do appreciate you guys. Take care.
See you,
Thank
Amy.
You so much, Amy.
Amy Hall, Granite State Dairy Promo.org, mm-hmm. NHDairyPromo.org is the website. You can go check it out. But yeah, ice cream, milk, cheese, butter. Come on, man. Do your part. And again, you can buy from specific creameries or the milk from some of the bigger brands. There is New Hampshire milk in there. Just support dairy.
Yay. Absolutely.
7:34. Taking a break. Back with more.